It's time for a special episode of The Cultural Hall, an episode that I promised not knowing who it was that I was going to actually be able to talk to. And as it turns out, my old coworker, my old friend, my old intern, really is what she was, Chelsea, was out at the Boston Marathon. Thank you for taking some time with us today.
You're welcome. I'm happy to.
So let's start with you went out to Boston. How long have you been in Boston for?
I did. I got here on Friday afternoon, and then my mom and my younger brother flew in, and they got here Saturday morning. So we've been out here. We were out here for a few days before the marathon. The marathon was on Monday, obviously. So, yeah, we've been out here for a few days.
Just kind of vacationing, right, and getting ready. You're getting acclimated to the to the weather and
yes,
or to the elevation.
Yeah, acclimated to the changes out here, and just kind of wandered around the city and did some of the touristy things, and have had a lot of fun leading up to Marathon Monday.
Yeah, what kind of stuff did you guys do? What does a tourist like yourself do in Boston?
Well, we followed the Freedom Trail, which was very cool, to sat around and to see some of the historical sites and up to Bunker Hill, and then went over to Quincy Market and went and did some shopping over there, shopping on Newbury Street, and then spent a lot of time over at the Marathon Expo, right over on Boylston Street, and just wandered around and looked at all the vendors there and kind of took in the whole city by walking around for the most part.
Is this your
enjoying it all.
Is this your first marathon?
First Boston Marathon, yes.
Is it your first marathon, though, or just your first
Boston? No, this is marathon number 9. So first Boston, but marathon number 9.
Very cool. So one of the things I noticed in the USA Today the other day was Boston is like the third or fourth largest marathon, right? Something like that.
It is. I think there were 27,000 people signed up to run the race. So, I mean, it's huge. You could see they have, they were selling and they have specific jackets for the runners that you could get at, from the convention center. So, I mean, there were people everywhere wearing these jackets. It was kind of unreal how many people were downtown Boston the nights leading up to the race, just wandering around in these jackets. And I was asking some of the cab drivers, you know, how much of a difference they noticed in the number of people around, and they said, oh yeah, very busy because of the marathon in town. So lots of people, lots of fun, huge race.
So take us to then Monday morning, just like from when you get up until obviously what we called to talk to you about, but take us all through that.
So Monday morning, all of the runners meet at the Boston Commons. It's about probably 3 blocks from where the finish line and the initial explosions were. So everybody meets, all of the runners meet there. We take school buses up to the start of the race. It's like a 45-minute bus ride. Really fun. It's awesome. I mean, everybody's really excited, and, you know, there's a little bit of angst and nerves, but for the most part, everybody's really excited because it's a huge accomplishment. You know, more people to qualify to get into the race, so it takes time to qualify, and then, you know, to get out and run the race, there's a lot of time and effort that goes into training for it, so it's a pretty big deal. It's a pretty big accomplishment. So we got to the front of, or the beginning of the race, and you just kind of hang out. There are runners everywhere. I mean, it's packed with people sitting on the ground, just kind of drinking water, eating bagels, and
what time in the morning are we talking right now? What time is it when you get to the finish line or to the starting line?
This race actually started at 10 a.m., so we were up there, I think, by like 8:30. So not super early. Most races are earlier than that. This one's not too early. So for a couple of hours, we were able just to sit around, and like I said, all the runners are together. And then when the race started, it was honestly one of the most amazing things because there are thousands and thousands of runners. I mean, it was absolutely packed. And not only that, there were, I think they said over, I want to say like 500,000 spectators along the entire course.
Oh my gosh.
Which was absolutely true. There were people everywhere. I mean, it was absolutely unbelievable and fun. And so you have to imagine, I mean, the mood was just unreal. It was one of the neatest experiences I've had running through that and having that many people running with the same, you know, goals and ambitions and desires and, you know, sense of accomplishment because, hey, it was the Boston Marathon. Like, here we are. We've made it. And for a lot of people, you know, for me, it was, you know, that was a bucket list item. It was huge to be there and be able to participate in the race. So ran through, and I mean, it takes a good amount of time to run 26 miles. So running through all the streets and all the people, and you get down into about mile 24, 24, you go through, and we're over to the side of Boylston, and again, that's the main street where everything happened and the finish line is. And then you take a left onto Boylston, and there you can see the finish line, and it's probably maybe a quarter of a mile to the finish line from where you, when you're on Boylston, and it was packed with people. I mean, you have to imagine there are thousands of people along the route the entire time, but at the finish line, and it's huge. So there were seriously, the streets were just packed with spectators and people all over the place and runners everywhere down into the finish line. So, I mean, it was an amazing thing and got through the finish line and had that feeling of, holy cow, this is the Boston Marathon. I just finished it. So it was pretty unreal. It was a really amazing experience.
You know, a lot of times people will say in experiences like this, or you'll hear kind of the Mormon folklore about, you know, I had a feeling, or, you know, something made me run faster, or something told me to go down the street. Were there any of those experiences for you?
Yeah, and especially looking back after everything happened and we learned what really had happened with the explosions and the bombings, I was able to kind of sit back and reflect on the entire morning and all of the little events to this point where I went, holy cow, there are so many little things that happened.
Like what?
Got me to a safe place. So, for example, I'm notorious for not training very well for these things as far as running a lot. So in my mind, I kind of thought, I know I can go and finish, but I think it's going to take me a really, really long time. And in my mind, around 4 hours was a great time to finish this course, you know, for me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think it was really that. I didn't think it was possible because of my lack of training. But for some reason, during some of the hardest parts of the course, you know, Heartbreak Hill, where it's just killer, I just had an amazing burst of energy and was able to just push through those hills that really should have kind of kicked my butt and I should have been slower on them. And then there were a couple of times I almost wanted to stop because I was going to take pictures because it was so amazing and there were so many people. And I literally went and pulled my phone out and my storage was full, so I was able to take pictures. And at that point, I kind of felt like, well, I'm not going to stand here and delete photos to try and take photos, so I'll just hurry. I'll just finish the race and then worry about it later. You know, which if I had stopped for a few minutes longer, it literally would have been a matter. I mean, because I finished within 8 minutes of when everything happened. Mm. So if I had stopped to take the pictures, you know, it could have been that I was right there or able to finish the race. And then, you know, even something with my mom and my brother, normally with my races, they'll be right at the finish line. They like to be right there when I'm crossing to take pictures.
Sure, to cheer you across the finish line. That's what a lot of families do.
Right. And in this case, this is probably the only time that they weren't right at the finish line because there were so many people and it was more difficult for them to get to the finish. And then even at one point, my mom said to my brother, hey, should we just have lots of time? Let's go around, get to the finish line. And my brother was like, no, let's just stay over here. It'll be better for us if we just hang out here. It'll be easier to find her. So even in that, we saw, you know, wow, for some reason, right, they decided not to go over to the finish line. And so just little things, you know, I think towards the end of the race, it took everything out of me, and I wanted to stop more than anything because everything hurt, and my legs were sore, and I was just kind of felt like I was just done and wanted to walk, but it was that same thing. I just felt the need, like, you just need to keep going, just keep pushing, and just finish the race, just get through. So it's crazy.
So where were you then? You said you finished within 8 minutes, and I'm thinking of my race experience where as soon as I cross the finish line, I don't make it much further than the finish line for about a half an hour where I'm just like, I'm gonna stand right here. So where were you in relation to the explosion?
I was probably within about half a block. I mean, I don't know, maybe 50 yards of the finish line. So I was close enough that I definitely saw all of the smoke, and it was just huge and crazy. But there were so many people that I couldn't actually see the debris on the ground because it was a low explosion. So I couldn't see what had actually happened and everything on the ground, but it was enough that I could see the smoke and notice that people were starting to move quickly towards my direction away from the explosion. So I was still within, I mean, I was still close. I was in the finisher's area, exactly what you're saying. I was getting my medal and just taking my time and trying to take everything in and enjoy the moment. So it was really close.
What would What was your initial reaction to the noise?
I had no idea what it was. I turned around immediately because it was so loud and saw all the dust. And I'd never been there, so I thought, well, I don't know, is it some sort of a cannon, like for a celebration type thing, maybe at 4.5 hours, that's what they do. Or then it was kind of like, well, oh, maybe it was scaffolding, there was a small accident. But there was no point that I ever saw that it was as big of a deal or as critical as it really ended up being. And even looking on at the volunteers for the first explosion, it was kind of like, what was that? And you could see the confusion on everybody's faces. And then by the second explosion, I definitely had a sense of something's wrong. We need to get out of here. And I had a general idea of where my mom and my brother were. So I just felt like I just need to go and find them and we need to get out of here. So as soon as my mom even sent me a text saying, are you okay? Because she saw the explosion and had no idea where I was. Mm-mm. So as soon as I found them, I just looked at them and I was like, I don't know what happened, but it's definitely not right. We need to go. We need to get out of here. We need to start meeting you at the hotel. So it was, you could tell. I mean, I definitely had a feeling of, we just need to go. We just need to get away.
So then you get back to the hotel, and then what?
We saw our way back to the hotel. At that point, you could start. That's when, I mean, there were sirens all over the place. We started seeing fire trucks and police cars and ambulances, everything flying down to the direction of the finish line and the explosions. And then police officers were running down that way as well. And then they started blocking off all of the entrances into the trains and into the train system. And you could also hear helicopters. So it was people. You could tell we're kind of confused because it was like, we don't really know what's going on. But it was obvious because of all of the police enforcement and what was going on that way that it was something big. And then also we started getting text messages and phone calls from people that were concerned, wondering where we were and if we were okay. So that was another thing to go, okay, well, it's on the news back home, so this is a really big deal. So we just hurried back to our hotel, which was probably a 10-minute walk. And really, we just basically stayed inside for the rest of the night. And then all night through the rest of the night, we would hear sirens going up and down the streets. And there were police officers just walking through the streets, you know, with their weapons around their chest. And we just sat in the hotel room and watched the news and watched everything unfold, watched it all unfold. And it was sad to see what had happened to so many people and so many innocent people. It was pretty heartbreaking to watch it all.
So now you've had a night to sleep on it, and you're actually at Logan Airport right now coming to fly home to Salt Lake. Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts now, kind of the day after?
It's definitely somber, and you can kind of sense, especially with all the runners, because, again, they're all walking around in these jackets that are very distinct, and you can kind of, there's almost a sense of community as, wow, here we are together to run this great race, and it turned into a tragedy, but everybody still wants to kind of pull together to support each other. And you kind of get a sense of that even when you're walking past a runner, you'll kind of get a head nod and a smile. And, you know, and even when I first got here, I had a gentleman from Homeland Security who came up to talk to me and just said, hey, do you have any photos or any information from, you know, the day of the race? Where were you? So even at the airport, I was questioned a little bit. And he was very nice, but questioned by Homeland Security to see if there was any extra information that we had to give to them. And then, I mean, lots of people all over. Security was, it's definitely crowded and took some time to get through, but we were able to make it through.
What's your takeaway from all this? I mean, now you're going to come back. What do you take away from all of it?
Absolutely that probably for me personally, that I was definitely being watched over and everything happens for a reason. You know, there was a reason that I ran better than I thought. And there was a reason that my family didn't go to the finish line. And probably the biggest thing is just, you never really know what's going to happen one day to the next. And so probably for me to go, wow, you know, if my mom and my brother had been at that finish line, and for us, it was, let's go to the race and enjoy this race and they're going to stand there and watch me fish. It could have been a tremendous tragedy, which we never would have expected. So just to really take the time to appreciate, you know, my family and make sure that I go, hey, you never know if there's going to be a tomorrow or not. So I'm going to be better about taking the time to really appreciate the people around me and making sure that they know that as well.
Well, I appreciate you taking a few minutes of time with us. Enjoy your flight. Have safe travels.
Absolutely.
And we'll see you when you get back here. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
You bet. Bye-bye. So that is Chelsea. She's out there at Boston Logan Airport and about to make the trip back here. That is another special episode of The Cultural Hall. Be sure to find us at The Cultural Hall on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook by searching The Cultural Hall. Find us on Pinterest. And as always, there is that website, theculturalhall.com. We hope you have enjoyed this very special episode, and we'll catch you next time. In the meantime, we hope that this podcast has nourished and strengthened your body, and that if you're not healthy enough to listen this week, you'll be healthy enough to listen next week. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you on the back row of the Cultural Hall.